I want to see like at least 2.5 inch. At least.
I love it. Hey there, and welcome back to Ticket A42, Australia's leading theatre industry podcast, produced for AussieTheatre.com. This month, I sit down with Michael Ralph, who is actually the first person I've interviewed who's not a performer, first and foremost. He's a choreographer, so he gives some great insight into his creative process, auditions, what he likes to see and what he doesn't like to see. So any young budding performers out there, I think some of the information he gives will be really, really valuable to you. Obviously, as usual, everything we speak about will be on the information page at the AussieTheatre.com website. And yeah, keep your tweets coming. I love hearing your feedback. I'll see you on the next one, guys. Bye. Well, look, here we are. I'm sitting across the table from my friend and colleague and future colleague, Michael Ralph, a choreographer and award-winning artist extraordinaire. How are you, Michael Ralph?
I'm good.
Thanks for joining me on Ticket A42.
Pleasure. I'm a fan.
We were just talking about how you listened to the last episode with Dion and Alinta and you liked it.
Yep. I love all of them.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Hey, so I just mentioned before that you this week just won the Green Room Award for Best Choreography for 2015 for your work on Loving Repeating.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's exciting. So tell us a little bit about that night. Who were you up against?
So I was up against Andy for Annie Holsworth for Anything Goes and John O'Connell, Cha-Cha. For Strictly, and myself, for Georgie Girl as well.
So you had a 50-50, you had a 50% chance of winning.
I had a 50% chance.
The odds were with you.
Well, some might see it that way, but the other shows were really big shows, so yeah. I honestly didn't expect. I thought that big dance shows would win.
Sure. And if you thought, did you think that you would win, if you were going to win for anything, did you think it would be for Georgie Girl over Loving Repeating?
Well, kind of. Mm. I don't know, because Loving Repeating is so different. Mm. And I think that's probably why they liked it, I guess, is that it was so different and they'd never seen anything like it, maybe. And sometimes the things that are really different win, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And was it just an incredible thing to work on, Loving Repeating? For I saw it. It was so different to anything else that has been around for such a long time. So I guess winning for that would have had its own, you know, excitement.
Yeah, I think Loving Repeating was really challenging and different. And as you said, no one had really done anything like it or seen anything like it. And I certainly have never heard or watched or encountered any musical that's quite like that. It was really difficult to get my head around at first because it's so wordy and I'm not really great with words. But it's all based on Gertrude Stein's poetry. So the songs themselves like are sort of tongue twisters and have hidden meanings in them. So from a choreographic point of view, the words can only really take you so far when they're so layered and heavy. Mm. So the good thing was that the music in the show I actually really liked and I connected with and had lots of different styles within it. So choreographically, it sort of suggested different dance styles and got a chance for me to, yeah, try sort of different things within the show. So, yeah, it stretched me, like, both in a style way and the fact, the concept of the whole thing, which most people, you either got it or you didn't get it, I think. But I eventually got it. Thanks to Jason.
Well, you definitely got it because you won an award for
it.
Apparently. Is that your first major theatre award?
That's the first thing I've ever won, ever.
Oh, like even not a meat tray at some bingo raffle?
No, I never win anything. I think I've got like, I might have won like a jazz solo sometime way back at like comps or something. But, yeah. Oh, actually, I guess I did something way back in Short Sweet Dance and I did well with that. So maybe that was the last time I've ever won anything.
And so when they're reading out your names, because I've been to the Green Room Awards once and it was it's a long night.
It was 4 hours.
It's a long night.
So my question to you is two questions. Had you had any alcoholic beverages before and during?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Great. Yeah. And so when they're reading out your...
Rob Tribolino did, by the way. It was Rob Tribolino who read it out, which was so special.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen him in weeks and I'd been trying to catch up with him. So then I saw him on stage and that was...
Robert Tribolino is a very talented performer in his own right. He was not in Loving and Repeating, though, was he?
He was not, no. But his family sponsors some of the awards, so he just presented some of them.
Sure.
And so happened to read out my name.
Right. And so when they're reading out, they read out, you know, nominations are Andrew Holsworth, John Chartier O'Connell, Michael Ralph, and Michael Ralph. Did you have a moment of... I'm going to win this? Or what did you think? Like the 5 seconds before, did you know?
Well, Jason Langley had just won for Loving Repeating, for director, best director, literally the one before.
Yeah.
So, of course, a part of me was like, shit, you better think of some names. Or can I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, you better think of some names. You know, that goes... How can you not think like that? But I honestly thought that, like, Chacha or Andy would win. Just because their shows were so big and, you know, you don't think their little show is going to come out on top.
Mm.
But we totally did.
You did. And so did you... Were you eloquent in your speech?
I've actually seen a video of it because one of the people filmed it from Loving Repeating. I was very emotional and very moved and I almost cried and I'm definitely not that kind of person.
Yeah, which is big for you because really people that know you know that you don't cry quickly often.
I really don't at all. Like I can probably do count on my hand the number of times I've cried in the last 5 years. But it's, I don't know, something about getting up in front of everyone and your emotions are going and you're trying to remember everything and everyone's names and speak really well. So I tried my best just to say what I wanted to say and not go on too much. And because, you know, it's 4 hours long and people are looking at their watches already. But yeah, I tried to speak nicely and people seem to say I did a lovely speech. I don't know. I don't like talking.
You do the 5, 6, 7, 8, not the talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of... Like going from little shows to big shows, you are also the choreographer of a rather big show that's kind of midway through its Australian jaunt. Georgie Girl, the story of the Seekers.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about approaching that and you know, that's your first big major musical where you've been the head of choreography and stuff. Like how's that experience been?
Georgie Girl has been amazing. Mm. Like it's been, as you said, it's the biggest thing I've ever done. And so naturally going into it, I was very nervous and, just wanted to do a good job because I didn't want to, you know, it's a big responsibility and, it's a big show, big money's involved. You just want to be good. I just wanted to do good work and I wanted to do work that was going to be right for the piece because it was the first time that I think I've ever been done an original musical where I'm the first person making up these steps and the arrangements and all of that and working with Stephen Amos and that was amazing on the orchestrations. I loved that. I love making up original stuff with original music. That really gets me excited. And working with Gary as well. Gary, I love him. He's one of my favorite directors, Gary Young. And he just puts me completely at ease. So although I felt a lot of pressure, I had an incredible cast of people. I had already done the workshop the year before, so I kind of walked into it going, you got this, you get it, you just got to trust it and know that good stuff will come out. And I just did lots of research for the whole year. It was good having a whole year to know that it was coming up.
Yeah.
So I could make sure I was ready and I don't know, just trust it in the moment that it's going to come out. And the more I've done, the more I get better at that sort of creative process.
And yeah, so what is your process? Like how do you, someone goes, okay, Michael, I want you to choreograph Georgie Girl. It's set in the 60s mostly. And so what do you do? Like how do you start?
How do I start? I watch a lot of stuff. Love watching. I spend way too much time on YouTube. So hours and hours of YouTubing. And I looked at... I looked at stuff from the 60s in terms of television shows, like people performing on television shows. I looked at music videos from the 60s, like the really early sort of, they weren't really called music videos then, but you get what I mean. I looked at social dancing, like any clips I could find of people dancing in clubs in the 60s and that sort of thing. I also looked at like anything I could find that someone had done a modern version of it, or like a movie, like clips out of movies, like for example Austin Powers, like the dance styles and that, how it's from the 60s but it was a film made like in early 2000. So I tried to find lots of things like that as well. Hairspray, you know, modern movies, so that I could get a good perspective on not just recreating what's been done before and trying to do something that's new. And then photos as well. Like, I'll have photos in the room with me. I'll try and get like key images that I think work for that particular dance number or place, like if we're in a certain place. I love having the costume designs in front of me as well. That really helped on Georgie Girl. And I'll lay that out in front of me on the table. And of course, I'll have listened to the song many times.
And so you're the first creative person, like, not, you're not the first creative person I've interviewed on Ticket A42. You're the first person that has been on a creative team that I've interviewed on Ticket A42. So you...
So,
what I want to ask you, because lots of people wonder this, is, you know, you have now started to watch people audition often. So let's just use Georgie Girl as an example still. Like, what kind of stands out to you when you're trying to cast a show and we, the performers, are all trying to get the job and we walk in front of you and Gary and Stephen? Like, what stands out to you in a performer that you think, I want to work with that person? Because we're not obviously from the 60s. We're kind of trying to find the style. You know, what appeals to you in a performer on the floor? It's like the oracle.
Oh, it's like, tell me the magic secrets. You mean like in a dance call, right?
Just in the room. Like, obviously, you're privy now to stuff that you weren't privy to a few years ago in terms of, you see people audition, and I'm sure people... I mean, I've been a reader on audition panels before where I've read the script opposite, you know, potential people that are going for the show, and I sometimes I know the actor, and I sometimes... I'm surprised by how well or how flustered or how excited or easily ruffled an actor gets, you know?
I think for me, I just like their energy and their style to be right for what the show is. And I think some people don't always... I just feel like people need to do the research. And if they come and researched and they had the right vibe, they just got the right vibe. And sometimes people's vibes are just not quite right, or they're so nervous, or they're pushing themselves, they're pushing it too hard. I don't know. I think what's appealing is when someone's, even if they forget a step or whatever, like, you look at them and I can see that they're, I could see them in the show. Mm. Like, I can see them doing my kind of steps the way I like them done. And they've watched and they've listened and they've looked in the mirror and they've tried to match that. I don't like when people ignore all of that and just sort of go, here I am. And but I don't want to see you. I want to see what you look like in this particular style. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I think that's gold. That's golden.
I don't know.
And so do you think, because, you know, people that don't know you from maybe 10 years ago would maybe not realize that you were a performer before you were a choreographer.
Yeah.
And that's a natural progression, I think, for choreographers. Like, most choreographers are dancers before that.
Yeah.
So do you think that because you have been on auditions and you have been on the other side of that table, that you, are you more understanding or, because musicians, you know, like musical directors quite often have not been performers. Like, do you see potential performers that are going to be in your companies a little differently to some of the other people on the panel sometimes?
Maybe, yeah. I think because it really wasn't that long ago that I was there auditioning. So I try to keep Yeah, I try to run an audition that I would want to do. Like, I try to be very respectful and I try to keep a good energy in the room but still be really specific. I try to be as positive as I can, even with my poker face that I have.
For people that don't know Michael, he has, like, one of the best poker faces in the industry. You can't tell if he loves you or hates you, or is if he's hired you or fired you.
I'm just keeping it totally pro. Keeping things pro. Not giving too much away. No, I think, what was the question?
Are you understanding of people in the room because you've been a performer?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I try to be. I'm sorry if I don't come across that way, but I try to be supportive and I try to give everyone a go. And, you know, yeah, it wasn't that long ago I was there, so I try to be, respectful.
I think you're respectful. I've not auditioned for you a lot, but I have auditioned for you at times, and you're very lovely.
I try to be, I really try not to do is, because this used to bug me, is I never try and favoritize anybody in a dance call. I never try and pick people out. I definitely don't try and hug and kiss people in the audition. I just think that's so not needed. Like, it's a neutral space. Everyone's on the same, like, go. You give everyone the same go. So I really try and keep it even. And obviously there are going to be people that I know or don't know, but that doesn't mean that I need to make a big deal out of it. Mm. Like, I try and keep it a neutral space. Everyone's going for the same job. Everyone deserves the same amount of time.
Sure. Now, let's go back to just you being a performer for a sec. So that, I mean, because you've made...
Did you say just being a performer?
Oh, did I say just? I don't mean just being a performer. Let's go back to... Oh, no, I mean only being a performer, not just as in only it's a just performer. A performer. As opposed to being a dancer and a choreographer and a theatre maker, whatever that means. So I want to ask you, because you're not even yet 30, like you're very young to be doing what you're doing.
Yes.
Was it a conscious decision for you to go, I'm not going to perform anymore, I'm now going to create choreography? Or, I mean, is that a decision you've even made?
I don't think I consciously made the decision to stop performing. I think I made the decision to put myself out there as a choreographer. Mm. And from doing and making that decision and being ballsy about it, and finally, it's paid off. And therefore, all the things that I do now are choreography. But that doesn't mean that I decided not to perform. It just means that that's the way it's naturally happened. And I'm happy it's happened like that. I actually don't miss performing. I really don't miss it. I love doing what I'm doing. I'm very grateful to be able to do it now. So it just sort of happened. But I put the wheels in motion to make that happen. So I didn't decide to stop performing. I just decided to put all of my eggs in one basket. And now I get to do that all the time, and I'm really glad that I do, because it's much more fulfilling for me.
For you. Yeah. It's about finding what you specifically want to do, right?
It just feels more what I was meant to do. And I think as a performer, I think I was very much, I was always aware of what was going on around me. I was always sort of outside my head, but inside my head, if that makes sense. So I think as a performer, you should be much more focused on you and your performance. But I think I was always conscious of other people and what was going on in the room and what my spot was in that. So I think I wasn't, my head was maybe not the best type, place, thing for a performer, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
One of the things I think that's great about you, and maybe that is because you're still so young, but you do, you're kind of bouncing between these big scale musicals and then smaller independent shows, and you teach and you're heading to Whopper later and you're going to VCA later to do shows, which I think is fantastic. Like, you're kind of working the spectrum of the industry. Is that a conscious decision, or are you just kind of going where the work is?
Going where the work is, of course. If an opportunity comes and I can do it, then I'll do it, and I want to do it. And what's great at the moment is things just seem to be locking themselves in, and the few moments that I'm not doing a show, I'm very, very fortunate to be able to teach for so many performing arts places in Melbourne, and they let me go and do my thing and come back again, and they're happy to have me there for whatever time I can give them. So I'm very lucky that I can teach as a job when I'm not choreographing and have it pay the bills and all that sort of thing. But yeah, they let me do my thing and then they're happy to have me back. And I'm very fortunate.
Well, it's and deserving.
Well, I think fortunate.
And deserving.
I think
fortunately deserving.
But I also think that, I like teaching. I do. I definitely can't do it for a long period of time because I can't do it for months and months and months at a time because it is, for me to feel like I'm giving the students the best thing I can give them, I think I need to be in a good headspace. Mm. But I care very much about it. I think that's probably why it takes it out of me. I care very much. I think some people teach because it's literally income for them. And I don't think you're the best sort of teacher if you're doing it just to pay the bills. Like, you've got to have knowledge to give on and you've got to make it not about you.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of teachers, young teachers, especially at dance schools, they just come out of full time or they've just done one musical or two musicals and they definitely have something to offer, but sometimes I think their approach is a little bit wrong.
Sure.
Truth.
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 Truth or dare tonight. Easter Sunday.
It's all coming.
It's
out.
Very religious. So let's talk quickly about all of the things that you're doing. So you're currently doing Georgie Girl. You're currently choreographing a new Australian show called Crossroads.
Yes.
I'm just going to play at Chapel Off Chapel from mid-April. We'll give you the details at the end. Tell us a little bit about that, just quickly. Let's just do a little taster of all the things you're doing.
Okay. So, yeah, Georgie Girl's moving to Sydney next week. So looking forward to going and putting that into the State Theatre.
Yeah.
Interesting theatre. Crossroads, I'm doing at the moment, written by Anthony Costanzo, who actually was one of my first singing teachers when I was in full time.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's like a full circle to be working on one of his shows with him. He writes beautiful music. Peter Fitzpatrick wrote the book. Fabulous Tyrone Park is directing. It's not a dance show really at all. It actually is not a dance show. But there's moments in there that they brought me into stage, some of the ensemble sort of stuff. It's going well. It's original. It's a work in progress. I'm looking forward to seeing it out there, Chapel.
And then let's quickly go to your university shows for the year.
For the year? Let's make it an annual thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Whopper, which I've never been to Perth or Whopper before.
Very good training institution. Oh, great people go there.
Yes, many great people do go there. I know a lot of them. we're doing Bring It On. Bring It On, the musical there, with the second and third years. And I met them all last week, actually. Or last week? The week before. They're really talented, really keen. Totally keen. It's going to be really challenging, but bring it on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And VCA, they're doing Spring Awakening, which is, a whole other kind of show with the second and third year. So, yeah, I look forward to doing something different. All of the shows are very different than I'm doing, so I like
them. Then you're going to do Dusty.
Dusty.
In the production company later in the year.
Yes.
That's a great cast of people, isn't it?
The ones they've announced are really great.
That's exciting. I'm joining you on that little train and yes. I'm excited to go back to that 10 years on.
That's gonna be weird for you, huh?
But really exciting. It's a very dear show to my heart.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
No, fresh blood, mate. Fresh blood.
Well, it's definitely not gonna be. It's not. It just won't be exactly what it was like before because it's 10 years later, and it's a different creative team. It's Jason Langley and Michael Tyack and me. So it's a new creative team. It's a new script. A lot of the stuff from the show has been cut. A lot of the ensemble numbers are shorter or cut completely. So yeah, I guess we just got to walk in there and do a fresh approach with a 2-week rehearsal period. And I'm excited. I'm really excited about Dusty.
Me too. And I think Amy LaPalma will be like golden as Dusty Springfield.
She did an incredible audition, apparently. I wasn't there, but I heard. She did an amazing audition.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Busy year. Do you have anything for next year just yet? Nothing you can talk about?
No. No, nothing.
He's lying.
No, I actually have nothing. So anyone want to give me a call? I'm open.
Now let's quickly just talk about the fact that you're from New Zealand. You don't really have a Kiwi accent these days. A lot of people don't know that. Well, I'm announcing it to the ether. So how does little Michael Ralph from... Where in New Zealand are you from?
So I'm from a place called Tauranga, which is in the North Island. It's 3 hours down from Auckland. It's near Rotorua, so it's near the stinky. It doesn't stink where we're from, but that place is like an hour away. It's on the East Coast. Like, I'm in the curvy part of the North Island.
Mm. Are you, like, famous in New Zealand?
No, no one knows who I am.
But... yeah, fast track that story. New Zealand, Michael Ralph, little boy, dancing school, Melbourne. Like, how did that happen?
What do you mean, how did that happen?
Well, you came here. Why did you come here?
Right. Why did you come here? Go home. I grew up, in Tauranga, and all the way until I was 18. I moved here when I was 18. So in my last years of high school, I basically decided that I was going to move to Australia and I was going to go to a school in Melbourne, and I wanted to be a performer. I wanted to be in musical theatre more than anything, and I knew I had to train over here to get it. Like, there was nowhere in New Zealand really that could offer me the connections and the teachers and the knowledge that I needed, so I just decided, and then saved up a whole lot of money and moved over here. And 2007 was the year that I moved here, so I really haven't been here that long. Almost 10 years.
You've done very well.
I've worked very hard. I will say that.
You have. You have very... yes.
I've worked very hard in that amount of time. But yeah, that's how I got here. So,
And you trained at Dance World.
I trained at Dance World Studios. I did a year there and then the rest is history.
Mm. What was your first professional job out of Dance World?
Cats.
I was in that?
You were. Not when I first did it.
No.
There. The second time you did it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Everyone's done it. Sometime.
Well, even Delta's done it.
Even Delta's done it.
I interviewed Delta.
Yes, I know. I heard it.
She's a lovely girl.
She is.
Hey, Michael Ralph, that is the hard stuff done. We're going to do the Ticket A42
this
test.
This is the harder
No, this is fun.
I'm scared about this.
First question is called, well, it's not really a question, it's like a statement. The kid in A42, did you have a moment when you knew you wanted to be in the big shows? Like, did they even come to Tauranga?
No. They came to Auckland.
Yeah.
I definitely had, I'd say, Dirty Dancing and Mamma Mia and Saturday Night Fever, those three shows, came to Auckland around about the same time, like within 1 year. Which was at the end of my sort of high school time. So when I saw them, I have distinct memories of the dancers and the performers in those shows, who are now probably all people that I know and are friends of mine, which is amazing. But as a young guy, I looked at them and that was it when I saw those shows. And I know they're not the most amazingly written pieces of musical theatre, but I was, what did I know? Like, I didn't know any different. I just saw those as massive shows and I'd never seen anything like them.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never seen Saturday Night Fever especially. I remember the dancing in that show, seeing that and just being overwhelmed.
Like, was that with Adam John Frontino?
Yeah, all of those people. Yeah. Who else was in it? Natalia Babenko was in it. Brenton Wilson. So many people. Heaps of people that I know now. But yeah, I just remember seeing that and just, I'd never seen anything like it in New Zealand ever. Like, the dancers were incredible.
Was that at the Civic Theatre in Auckland? I love that theatre. We did Wicked
beautiful.
There.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
So pretty. It's expensive in Auckland.
It is.
It's expensive coffee.
I'm not from there, so I can't comment on that.
I mean, I love it. It was just expensive.
Basically, in New Zealand, if anyone who's not from Auckland hates Auckland, and people who are Aucklanders are just up on their own grill.
Oh, you're going to ruffle some feathers.
It's the truth. They deserve to hear it.
Michael Ralph, what's got you goat?
Oh, this one. Oh, I don't know what I want to say.
You can say anything. You can say anything as big or as little as you like.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, do I say an industry thing? Or
sure, if you want. You don't have to.
Nothing else really gets my goat, though.
Okay,
only things that are to do with work get my goat. This is silly. I really like a girl who can dance in a chorus heel properly. I really don't like people who can't dance in heels.
I love it. This is my favorite What's Got You Goat ever. So what do you think about, because I have this thing too with chorus heels. What do you think about a half chorus heel?
No, not a kitten heel.
Not a kitten heel. Kitten like heels. You want a full, are they called DeLucas? Those really good ones?
Lacasses.
Lacasses.
Yeah, I live for Lacasses. No, I want to see like at least 2.5 inch. At least.
That is so eccentric.
Yeah.
I love it.
3 inch, absolutely. Mm. But if they're plodding along in like a little...
Name like a couple of girls in the industry that wear a good 3 inch.
Oh, heaps
like,
of them.
Tell me someone like Priscilla Stravoff. She'd wear a good one.
Yeah.
Who else? Madeline McKenzie would wear a good one.
Yes. They are all those girls wear good look curses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm down with that. I'm down with that. Hey,
that's so ridiculous. Why has that got my goat?
It gets my goat.
I just don't like it when they can't dance in them. Yeah.
Sure. So girls, practice in your heels or Michael Ralph won't hire you. Are you superstitious? This is very superstitious. No superstitious.
I'm really not superstitious.
So you have no superstitions around the theatre?
No.
Oh, well, that was a good question. Tell me...
I'm not superstitious, but I definitely like things a certain way. Like, sure. I'm a man of habit.
But if you don't do it the same way, you don't think that the roof's going to fall in or something?
Definitely not.
Okay.
It'll just ruffle my feathers.
See, I think the roof's going to fall in.
Yeah.
Or I'll forget the line or I'll, you know, sing out of tune or
definitely
crack or something.
No, I'm not that bad, no.
I am. It's fine, don't worry about it. Tell me the 5 things you can't live without.
Oh, see, this is the harder bit of the interview. This is hard. I think it is. Pressure to come up with good answers.
No.
Can't live without. Can I put friends and family in the same category?
You can, yeah, it's open. It's not that strict.
What are the rules?
Well, there's no, like, Stalin about this or anything.
Yeah, friends and family for sure. My close friends, I mean. My phone?
Everyone says that. It's true. That's the age we live in.
Unfortunately, like, I feel bad saying that, but it's the truth. My car? I don't know what I did without my car before. I love my car. What else? TV. I really like TV.
You do. You I love watch, vegging out and watch just watching some thing. TV. That's your thing.
My unwind. And
I don't think unfortunately. Just yes, I'm the same.
I just own it. Okay, just own it. Yeah, I like TV. Crap TV, good TV, bad. I love it all. Is that 5?
I think that's 4.
Okay. Well, I can't live without musical theatre. Bah.
Well, it's serving you well.
There you go.
This is called Diva Tanti. Have you ever had one?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, will you tell us about one?
I don't know. I think anyone who's seen me in a teaching capacity, I definitely throw tanties all the time. But I throw tanties with a purpose.
How does a tanti go regular, like, you know, a normal kind of tanti for you go?
Right. So what'll happen is someone might be doing something and like dancing in front of me and I'll stop and then I'll think about it for a second and then I'll just launch into this lecture. But the point of the lectures that I give is to get the people to be better. So I might lose it if they're not, like, I just get really worked up if students are not working hard enough or if they've forgotten something or they're just not giving me anything back.
Sure.
So it'll happen like that and I'll lecture them and then I'll make them do it again and 9 times out of 10, it's better. So if that's what it takes to get a result, that's not really a diva thing though. That's just me losing it and getting a result.
Like,
out
do
of
you me. Cry? Do you yell?
No.
Are you slamming doors?
No.
Are you throwing water bottles?
I could never do that. No. I've had teachers, I've witnessed other teachers who were like that.
Mm.
I saw someone throw a pen once. I'm not going to name names.
Have you ever seen, like, in the theatre now, because you're choreographing a lot, like, have you ever seen a big star chuck the shits?
I wouldn't say that I've seen someone throw a tanty, but I definitely can tell when people are uncomfortable or if they're not happy about something, and I definitely see that.
You can tell with me. I get really shitty if I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
You would never throw a tanty in front of people, though. Like a public
No,
tanty.
I've never thrown a public tanty. No. I've thrown and I'm one not really behind
that,
doors.
I'm not that kind of person either.
I get a red wine and I start swearing a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes say the C word. So this is phone a friend. Yes. Who do you call if you have to share good news, bad news, advice? Is there one person?
Not one person. I reckon I'd call Mackie. I'd call Madeline.
Mackenzie.
Yes. Or Stephen, my housemate.
Oh, Stephen Wheat. He's nice.
Yeah, he's a good one.
He's one of my best friends.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I'd call him. Yeah, those two, maybe.
Great.
Yeah.
Showbiz, showmance, show crush. So yes. These defy age, availability and sexuality.
Yeah.
It's like a bit of a talent crush as well.
Yeah.
Who have you had a show crush on, talent crush on, that you're willing to share?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard when you're a creative because you can't go there. And I know it's just a crush show thing. It's different. Like, it's because the actors have their thing.
Yeah.
The actors have their thing, and I know what that's like now to be a part of that. But when you're on the outside, like, looking at it, you kind of can't have that same connection that when you get a show crush on someone, it's because you are around that person, you like that person, you get to know them. But, like, as a creative, it's harder to...
Do you have a creative team show crush? Or there's someone that you love to work with?
Oh, I love Gary. I love Gary. And I love Stephen. I love Stephen Amos. Yeah, those two. Maybe they're my talent crushes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say they're my show crushes. That's just weird.
You have a show crush on Gary Young and Stephen Amos.
No, that's weird. That's weird. But I love them. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's good enough.
I think you had a show crush on Dionne Sonata a little bit.
Oh, I love her. Maybe I had one on her a little bit. West Side for sure. Yeah. She's amazing.
She is, and she's crushable.
I was in awe of her before we even started.
Ditto.
Absolutely. I just think she's incredible. But I was so pleased that she was so down to earth and so... She wanted me to give her everything I could give. And yeah. I loved that she was like that.
Yeah.
She was incredible.
Yep.
Yeah. Ditto. Good idea. She was my show crush.
Ditto. Genie in a bottle. Chance for three wishes. What are they?
Three wishes. Maybe. Can I wish for more wishes?
Is sure. That a thing? But we can't sit here all night while you tell me what they are.
Okay. that's a fair call. Wishes. Probably. I'd wish for happiness. For everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I wish for everyone to be happy. Everywhere in the world, whatever that means to anyone. I'd wish to time travel.
Because
I want to go back in time and witness things and see things and experience times and then come back and have that part of my work, part of my life. That would be really cool.
Mm.
I've still got one more wish. Can I give my wish to someone?
Yeah, you can give your wish to the next person.
Yeah. Why don't I do that? Because okay. I don't think I need another one.
Next person gets four wishes. Okay. I've got to remember that.
Yeah, write that down.
I will. Do you want to ask me a question? Switcheroo?
so many things I could ask Mr. John O'Hara. What's your worst dance call? That you've ever done? What? Explain to me the situation and why it was awful.
That's a good one because it's you and you're a choreographer. I reckon...
And how it went down and why it was...
Well, awful. I auditioned for Starlight Express back in the day.
Bah!
Yeah, and so that's, for people that don't know, there's roller skating in that. So we didn't have to roller skate, but we had to do a lot of exercises... like squatting kind of exercises that would show
whether you could
whether our Achilles were long enough to kind of
do it,
handle it. Yeah. And
that's an interesting dance school.
But it was difficult. And I wasn't really capable of what was required. Is the short story.
You couldn't squat.
I mean, I can squat, but not the way they wanted it to, me right. to squat. And so I tried to leave the audition twice, but Lynn Ruthven, who was the casting agent, was like, please don't go. And so I kept pushing through, but it was just, it was bad.
Oh.
But then also, like, I think I've got an equally bad one in that just more recently I auditioned for Matilda and I vomited. I vomited in that.
Not in the room.
No, I ran out because we were doing all this jumping trampoline stuff for Trunchbull and I felt sick because I had to keep doing it over and over again and then I spewed out. I ran out. They said, don't be worried. Don't be scared. This English man was very lovely. Don't be scared. We have all the time in the world. I jumped and I went, I'm going to be sick. And I ran out and I vomited all over a tree near Brent Street. That was pretty embarrassing. Yeah.
That's really intense.
I have great audition stories. You know that.
Yes.
Because I just go hell for leather.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
I fell over a lot in the Kinky Boots audition because I had to wear heels.
Not good in a heel.
I'm great in a heel, but I had to.
I knew you'd say that.
But I had to. It was a lot of turning. You know.
Too many turns.
Mm.
Back to your turns.
But I gave it. I gave it Corey.
I'm sure you did.
Didn't get it. Doesn't matter. anyway, tell us about a secret skill you have that no one knows about.
I've pre-prepared this. I like to think I'm really good at parking, at reverse parking.
Oh, okay.
As in, is that, wait, what kind of
parking? Yeah, parallel parking.
Parallel parking, yeah. I like to think I'm really good at that.
Are you?
I think I'm good at it. But then if I tell someone I'm good at it and then they're in the car with me,
you stuff it.
I stuff it under pressure. But I still believe I'm really good at it.
Great.
I'm really satisfied when it goes well.
I reckon I'm all right at it too. You've got to know your car's dimensions.
You've got to know your cars and how to make it work, yeah. But I like getting it really well spaced.
Don't you think you need to know how to parallel park if you live in Melbourne?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah, you got to squeeze in all sorts of places.
Yeah. Hey, we're nearly at the end. We're just going to do this or that.
Cute.
Just a few questions, quick fire.
Cute.
One word answers.
Yep.
Here we go.
Okay.
Sweet or savoury?
Sweet.
Dog or cat?
Cat.
Tea or coffee?
Neither.
Oh.
Is that an answer?
No, that's fine. Black or white?
Black.
In or out?
In.
Walk or run?
Walk.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt, lots of salt.
Mm-mm. Boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
Christmas or birthdays?
Birthdays are pretty cool.
Yeah, because they're yours.
Oh, yeah, all about you.
Kisses or hugs?
I like kisses, but probably hugs.
Hot or cold?
I'd much rather be hot. No, cold, because then you put layers on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Mates or dates?
Oh, well, it's always mates, but I'd love dates.
Day or night?
Night.
His or hers?
His.
Me or you?
You.
Whatever. that's very sweet. Hey, so we're going to quickly shamelessly plug your shows.
Yes.
Georgie Girl is heading to Sydney and it's going to be at the State Theatre from April the 2nd. And then it's just been released that it's going to Perth.
Woohoo!
In July, from July 8th at the Crown Theatre in Perth. Have you ever worked there?
Never.
It's my hometown.
Can't wait.
and then Crossroads is playing at Chapel Off Chapel from April 13 and all details are at the Chapel Off Chapel website, as are the details for Georgie Girl, the Georgie Girl website. And then all of the VCA and Whopper dates are also, would be on their websites.
Yeah, I guess.
And Dusty's on sale as well.
All
I checked.
The shows.
I checked.
It's happening.
Hey, Michael, thank you for joining me on Ticket A42.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a little selfie. And we'll see you around.
See ya.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.